I've been active in survivalism for many years, and with my blog, I'm helping to guide along a lot of people to family preparedness. I try to encourage people to get squared away on what I refer to as beans, bullets, and band-aids. Essentially, everything that people would need for a major disaster so that their families can pull through, hopefully, unscathed, where you have enough food storage on hand, the means to purify water, and the means to defend yourself, first aid equipment, and so on, so that you can basically be independent of the system. If there's a major crisis, I anticipate that normal commerce will be disrupted, and people will have to rely on themselves. And with extra stored, you'll have the ability to help dispense charity to others, too.
Jim, for years we've been talking about surviving, and it could be anything, as you know. It could be war, could be a major earth change, could be an asteroid, could be just about anything that just wipes out a part of this planet, if not the whole thing. And people need to be ready in all forms and fashions. And we'll get into a lot of these various tactics and techniques that you write about and how to survive the end of the world as we know it. Back, remember the Y2K scare as we were getting into that? The people all over the place went crazy, and now we're almost getting the same thing. I'm trying to keep people calm about 2012. How do you look at the comparison?
Well, I think they are comparable in some ways. I think the good that came out of both of these movements has been seeing people get prepared, because even if their motivation didn't turn out to be completely accurate, the end result was very positive in that you had a lot of families getting prepared, and every family that gets squared away represents one less that's going to be rushing to the grocery store at the 11th hour and cleaning out the shelves. So instead of being part of the problem, you're part of the solution.
We see that all the time. Just when the weather person says, we're going to have a storm or a big snowstorm, the shelves get emptied, the milk is gone, the bread is gone. Happens all the time, doesn't it?
Sure does. It happened most recently in the States, in Hawaii, with the tsunami alert following the earthquake in Chile. And from the letters that I got from my blog readers in Hawaii, it was wholesale panic.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I had some friends in Hawaii at the time, and they live there. But during the tsunami, I mean, you're absolutely right. The stores get hit. The roads were a disaster. You know, traffic was everywhere. Calmed down later on as they began to realize nothing was going to happen. But for that moment, when they make that announcement, look up. There's another question. Quality announcements, has FEMA, even after Katrina, are they on top of this stuff, or will they spread panic when something happens?
Well, I think the federal agencies like FEMA have a vested interest in trying to minimize panic. And if anything, I think they'll soft pedal things. When they give a evacuation alert, sometimes they tend to be a little bit late, like they were with Hurricane Katrina. But in general, they tend to soft pedal things. And if they see the potential for widespread panic, I think they'd rather keep people in the dark.
Absolutely. You have seen this survivalist movement grow. How long has it been growing, Jim?
Well, you know, there was a lull after Y2K, but ever since Hurricane Katrina, it has just been on a meteoric path. There are more and more people getting involved with preparedness. And I think it's rational self-interest when you come right down to it. There are so many threats in our modern world, whether it's the economy, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's pandemics, or whether it's the threat of global war. There are so many threats out there that I think people would be crazy not to prepare. So it's just natural, given the increasing threats that we're facing from terrorism and everything else, that there's more and more people getting on board.
You must get incensed when you hear things from the mainstream media where they talk about survivalists as being, you know, rednecks, racists, antisocial, militia people. It's got to drive you nuts.
Oh, yeah, it does, because that doesn't represent the vast majority of survivalists. All it takes, though, is maybe 1% of people that are, you know, unstable to get themselves arrested for doing something incredibly stupid. And it casts the entire preparedness movement in a bad light. And again, those people represent a minuscule portion of the preparedness movement. But if you talk to the mainstream media, that's how they try to characterize all of us.
Well, case in point, two wackos recently, the one in Austin, Texas, who flew his plane into the IRS building, and the one who wounded two Pentagon police officers and then got shot to death in the process. Immediately, the mainstream media started saying that they were 9/11 truthers, they were conspiracy theorists. They paint the picture that because these people don't believe in the government-handed-out version, everybody's a wacko.
Yeah, it's basically the classic guilt by association route. And I really, it does aggravate me to see it happen.
I want you to paint for us a few scenarios, if you can, because you illustrate it well in your work. Give us a couple examples of what could happen and what you think the reaction would be.
Well, in my book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It, I run down a scenario for an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse. And in that scenario, someone living a typical suburban life wakes up some morning and their alarm clock doesn't go off, and they're annoyed that they're waking up late thinking, oh, it's just another power failure. And then as they're trying to get their breakfast ready, all the groceries in their freezer are slowly melting. Meanwhile, the house itself is getting colder because the heat is off.
Oh, yeah.
And when they go out to start their car, they find their car won't start. And then they go try to turn on the radio, and the radio won't work. And you have this cascade of events which illustrates that we live in a very complex technological society, and it doesn't take a lot to disrupt all that. Just the power grid itself would be enough to bring our society to its knees.
Absolutely. We've become, as you know, Jim, dependent on computers at stores, ATM machines for money. All those get affected if the power
Absolutely.
Goes.
And the chains of supply that we have in our modern society are incredibly long. They stretch thousands of miles. And the inventory control systems that exist, we've adopted the Japanese model, which is called Kanban, which is just-in-time inventory control, where when you go to your local grocery store, what you see on the grocery store shelf is all they have.